The conference is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Cross Community Working Group on the Use of Country and Territory Names as TLDS on the 26th of August, 2014. On the call today, we have Ron Sherwood, Mayor Donna Tasek, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Lisa Furr, Chris Chaplow, Daniel Kolchev, Hector Manoff, Maxim Alzoba, Jordi Ibagiri, Laura Hutchinson, Patrick Jones, Job Hirschkus, Scott Harlan, Mary Udama, and Heather Forrest. We have apologies from Ann Beth Lang. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Bart Boswinkle, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Bart.
Heather?
Thank you, Bart. Thank you, everyone, very much for being on the call. Thank you very sincerely to staff for circulating our agenda for today and keeping us on track in terms of where we need to be. I am very happy to pick up with our agenda. We have a number of things to do, picking up from our meeting in London and primarily discussing the study group final report and, in particular, the typology that's developed around that. We have a number of, let's say, key tasks today that go to the purpose of the working group. The first one is to confirm the description of the policies set out in the study group final report, and the second thing is to discuss the typology. I'm happy to open the floor to anyone who has any questions, any issues, anyone seeking background information in terms of how the study group came about the description of policies, existing policies in relation to the country, the use of country and territory names. All right, not hearing any questions. I have a question, which is to say, could CCNSO colleagues fill us in on the status of... Yes, go ahead. No, I thought I heard someone...
I've unmuted.
What's that?
I unmuted, Heather. That's
you
what
unmuted.
You did.
I see. Could CCNSO colleagues give us a quick update on, and I'm just flipping through here so I come up with the exact procedure, the IDN, the IDN overall policy. That was in progress when we were working on the study group, and I wonder where we are with that.
Probably let Heather, this is back for the transcript purposes. Let me explain where we are in from that perspective, because the CCNSO itself has completed its tasks. The policy and the board report has been submitted to the ICANN Board of Directors, including, and this is a typical thing for the new overall policy, including a recommendation on the what is called the second panel for confusing similarity. What is happening right now is that this second panel has been implemented for experimental reasons in the fast track to see whether the proposed panel would add value in the process, and we are waiting for the outcome of some additional requests. Once they have been, say, these additional requests for the say handled by the second panel have been completed, there's potentially a review of this methodology before the policy itself will be submitted to the board to take a vote. This is to avoid that the board will take a vote without any knowledge on the potential impact of this second panel on the overall process. So that's where we are. We have a board, say the board report has been completed and has been submitted to the board. We are waiting, staff is waiting for the outcome of request under the second panel, and potentially will review the process with the community, and then it will be with a recommendation submitted to the board. Does that answer your question?
This is Heather for the transcripts. Thank you, Bart, very much. Does that align with, in terms of our final report for the study group, does that align with the review that says the review of whether or not an IDN, a selected IDN CCTLD string is confusing and similar is a process step and should be conducted externally and independently? Is that what you're describing?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure, let's say that one of our primary obligations, as I understand it, within the working group and starting off, is simply to establish whether this is all still current and a baseline. So I suppose my questions are driving at, are there any changes to what we have within the study group report? And from
no,
what I gather from you, we haven't. We've advanced things further, let's say, but we're still consistent with what was set out in the study group report. Is that
yes.
Is that a correct assessment?
That is correct.
Excellent.
So put it this way, the reflection in the study group report of the recommendations, so in of the recommended policy, is still the status. Nothing has changed. It's the status of the report itself has changed. It is now a board report, so the submission of the CCNSO to the ICANN board of directors.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Bart. I wonder if we need to, of course, we don't have any more policy development on new GTLDs in this space. We do have, of course, proposals within the GAC for dealing with geographic names more broadly. I don't know if we need to discuss those here, given that at this stage they're proposals, given that they impact on names more broadly than country and territory names. I suppose we ought to at least put that on the agenda that we've discussed that here in terms of how it may impact future rounds. But again, these are proposals at this stage and nothing firm. Does anyone have any questions about those proposals, what we might do about them, how we record them, this sort of thing? All right. What I suggest we do, Bart, is I would like to think that we've captured those at least in terms of an awareness that these proposals exist, and perhaps reflect on how they might impact us going forward.
I do think,
although it isn't a policy, it's a proposal. It could impact on country and territory names going forward. I'm happy to start that. We can circulate that by the group, a brief summary of what these proposals are and how they might impact country and territory names that could go into an updated section within our own reporting of current policies. I say that knowing that at the time that we did the study group final report, there were things that were pending, let's say, that weren't actual policy that hadn't necessarily come into effect, like for example, the proposed IDN CCTLD overall policy, that it puts us on our radar. Does anyone have any objection to that?
Heather, this is Bart. I just want to make a comment. Is as far as I'm aware, in creating this working group, there were some conversations and there was an concern expressed whether there on a potential overlap between the focus of this working group and the scope of this working group and the GAC proposals. probably it's my suggestion would be that, say, first, it's a good thing to monitor progress on the proposals anyway, but secondly, and maybe probably more importantly, is to check and to check whether there is overlap in scope on the two proposals.
This is Heather Barta. I agree 100%. I am concerned that as we're doing our work, the GAC is doing something similar and overlapping, and thus leaves our report in an interesting position at the end. So I agree wholeheartedly. How do you propose how best to go about that, let's say?
As far as I know, is that Olga Cavelli is member of the GAC, and she's also a member observer to this working group, that we ask her if there is any potential and if she can share the proposals.
Excellent. I think we also ought to know if we could have a status report on that. It would be helpful to have that before LA as well. Status report to the extent that Olga's able to discuss where the GAC is in its thinking, and really what the basis for its thinking is, to the extent that she's able to speak to that. I think that would be very helpful.
And maybe in addition, invite GAC members who are on this. I don't know how it's called, whether it's a working group or committee or say, in any case, this group who are dealing with this. Invite them for part of the face-to-face meeting.
But I think that would be very helpful, indeed. I'm increasingly worried that the way that this was shaping up in London, there's no question there's overlap, and of course the mandate of the two groups, so to speak, is different. The mandate of the working group is to recommend, if you like, overall policy recommendations, if we can use that term, and the mandate of the GAC, of course, is to deal with GAC advice in this situation and advise the board in its own capacity under the ICANN bylaws. So I understand that we're two very different groups with two very different mandates. However, one of the roles of this group is to monitor what's happening in this space and report based on what's happening in this space. And to the extent that we don't have information about what's happening in this space, it leaves our report incomplete, if you like, and leaves us making recommendations on unsound footing, I suppose.
Incomplete footing.
Heather, Lisa has her hand up.
Lisa, yes, please.
Lisa, for the record, I think it's a very, very good idea to find out if we're doing the same work on our report and on the proposals from GAC. But I think, wasn't GAC going to establish a secretariat that could be contacted? Because I think one of the things with the GAC members are that they are drowning in paper, and dealing directly might be a tough way to go. So if we can get some contact with the secretariat, I think that could be a solution.
Thank you, Lisa. It's an excellent idea, if we can do. I think that's a wonderful way to start. I'm less concerned about how we get information and more concerned about that we get information, let's say. So whatever the most effective way is to do that, I'm happy to endorse that.
But yeah, Lisa, for the record again, but I agree with the proposal of trying to meet them in Los Angeles, because I think it's very fruitful to exchange what we're doing and what they're doing face-to-face. That would be excellent if that was possible.
Thank you, Lisa. Does anyone have any objections then to arranging this face-to-face meeting, to the extent that we're able to do that with the GAC's busy schedule? No? Good. Bart, could I ask your help with that? Let's say I'm not sure where we're at with the agenda for London. I suppose it depends very much, or London, L.A., so that it depends very much on what we get done between now and then. But I know we have a meeting time and this sort of thing. Are we able to queue up Olga and others from this group?
Probably. I don't know. We have to check. So for the members of the working group on the call, it's my understanding there will be a face-to-face meeting of this group on Thursday morning, starting at 8:30 until 10, so 1.5 hours. So, and normally my guess is, normally the GAC, if all goes well, closes or work on their communique on Wednesday, and then the pressure is a little off of the GAC, but that's normal practice. I don't know what will happen in Los Angeles. But I will contact Olga to see whether she's willing and if she can engage and involve other members of the group, of that group.
This is Heather. Bart, I think that would be wonderful if you're able to do that. I would be very grateful. Right then, that leaves us with really the discussion on the typology. Unless there are any further questions about or anyone has any additions in terms of existing policy in respect of country and territory names. Could I suppose for the record, best if we formally do this, could I ask if anyone has any further additions or changes or questions or concerns around the study group's report, plus, as we've just discussed, the current GAC proposals? Are we happy to agree that that's a fulsome list at this stage of ICANN policy proposed and existing in relation to country and territory names? Does anyone know of anything else out there that we need to include for the fulsomeness of our report? No, hearing nothing, then I suppose we take silence to mean that is indeed a fulsome baseline from which this group can work. And with that in mind, we can move on and discuss the typology developed and discussed by the study group. This was really, I think, safe to say, the bulk of our work, and indeed the most challenging in many respects. When we think about the typology, really, if you like, what we're talking about is a way to define geographic name or define country and territory name in this context. And as you can see from the very careful reporting in the final report of the study group, this was not easy. There are many options. And in fact, when we describe the typology that was put together by the study group, This is a list of possibilities. This is not an end-all, be-all. There's a line in the final report that says this quite well, quite clearly. This is not an exclusive list. This is really merely a stake in the sand, so to speak, in terms of how much is out there, and an expression of the study group's exhaustive efforts, if you like, to try and get our heads around the many things that could be considered a country or territory name. Does anyone have any questions in the beginning, let's say, as to how the typology was developed and how it was tested? No? Right, Bart, would you like to say anything from a staff perspective on how the typology was developed?
Not so much on how it was developed. I think what I think is that was very valuable, and what is very valuable from a staff perspective is that the typology itself was tested as well, whether it's meaningful outside the ICANN realm, and whether it say, for example, governments and others had an understanding of what it included. So fortunately, in say, as a result of the MOU between ICANN and UNESCO, UNESCO was able to conduct a survey among its member states. So, and these are, and that's again interesting. They sent this survey mostly to government agency or others who are not related to the GAC representative or not very familiar with ICANN and what it is doing. And I think, and that's in the final report as well, say, although it's not a very representative survey due to the lack of response, etc., or it took too long, what you could see is that at least the typology itself made sense to this outside world. And I think that's an additional value of, say, the work of the study group.
Thank you, Bart. I agree, and I think it also underlines the challenges that the study group faced in terms of communicating the object of the typology, which is to say, we were not trying, certainly the role of the study group was not to develop policy recommendations. That was quite explicit. We were simply out there to identify possible conflicts, possible areas of use of country and territory names in the DNS, and even explaining that, let's say, to our colleagues in UNESCO was a bit of a challenge, as you say, Bart. Does anyone on the call have any questions around the typology itself, around any of these categories of names that have been identified as potentially relating to or potentially giving rise to country and territory names? All right, I hear silence. Of course, I would like to bring up the fact that these categories, again, let's say reiterate, these categories were contentious in a sense that what got included as a category and what did not get included as a category, there was a bit of a catch-all at the end, other languages and so forth. This was really, as I say, the most difficult aspect of the study group's work, particularly where we left existing policy. So if I can dovetail this discussion to the discussion we've just had around existing policy. Existing policy largely, as we know, centers around 3166 alpha 2 and 31 to a lesser degree 3166 alpha 3, which were brought into the new GTLD program. The remainder of these names are not things that have generally been targeted in existing policy, I suspect, and I would like to hear what our GAC colleagues have to say if we can manage this face-to-face meeting as to their thoughts on this typology. We have some challenges ahead here. I would like to stress from my position that this typology is by no means a starting point for, or it's not a predetermined place from which we say we lock all of these names up. This is simply the study group's attempt to understand where country and territory names or how country and territory names might be used in the DNS. And with that very limited purpose in mind, does anyone have any additions to this list? Does anyone have any amendments to this list?
Lisa has a hand up, Heather.
Lisa? Yes.
Lisa, for the record, I don't have any additions or amendments to the list, but I have a question about what the purpose was of you're saying on country and territory names in the 6 official languages of the UN. Is I'm not sure I understand the purpose of this.
The purpose of including that on the list, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, if I can offer a bit of background on that, I suppose the question came up: how do we deal with country and territory names in language? Full stop. And you see that is reflected in the ordering of these categories in the typology, and really it's an ordering of the study group's thinking. The first and most obvious case was the Alpha 2 list, the 31-66-1 list, which of course has been enshrined in policy for some years through the RFCs. 31-66-3, a natural expansion of things, and then our thinking went to, well, how do we deal with names? How do we deal with names more fully after we left abbreviations and acronyms and this sort of thing? Of course, in the old ICANN mentality, English language names, the first thing that comes to mind. In current ICANN mentality, and I stress that in a sense that, you know, we're now internationalizing ICANN and bringing UN languages into our own work, into our transcription and our translation services, those were the 6 languages that immediately came to mind. It wasn't necessarily a focus exclusively on those languages, but we considered the broader context of the use of geographic names in the outside world, I suppose. ISO being one, the UN being another. And you see other examples here in the report. So there wasn't an intention on the study group's part to exclude other languages, let's say, but this was a usage within context and yet without context as well, or outside of the strictly ICANN context.
So you're excluding all but the 6 UN languages, or is this... Because that's what.
We have as well. We spent a fair bit of time discussing national language, discussing official languages within country, and then, as you see in the report, we've also discussed minority or indigenous language. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but. Okay. Then, so you include the national language and the 6 UN languages.
We have specifically in the topology, we've set out. Just look at the proper order here. We have the country and territory name in 6 official languages. We have commonly used local names. We have country or territory names in minority or indigenous languages. And in terms of previous to these on the list, official long-form names and official short-form names, those would in many cases be in whatever your official national languages are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
I think where the study group had difficulty is in when we get to things like commonly used local names. How many languages do we look for, let's say? And you see that there are examples within the final report of countries with unofficial names, if you like, and do we simply deal with what the country, the endonym, what the country citizens call themselves? Do we deal with what other countries call this country as an unofficial name? There we start to get to endless possibilities, let's say.
Yes, we do, and it's Lisa for the record, and I know that's a problem, but like I can imagine, and I know you've had this discussion, I just needed to be clear in my head about it, but like Denmark in the Icelandic could be And that that's not a local Danish language, but it's actually not included in the six UN languages. So that would go through in this form of typology, and it might be an issue having Denmark in the Faroe Islands language or in Icelandic. So these are the kind of, yeah. But I'm not going to make an issue about it because I think this is not easy to solve. So, yeah.
Heather, this is Bart and Lisa. So, if you would go to the typology and the results of the survey, and I think there is a summary in the final report, you'll find that, say, country names in say, foreign languages is also included.
Mm.
I know there is, and this would cover your cases.
Yes, it would.
The ones you've mentioned.
Yeah.
But then you can go a step further again, is if you would take all living, say, all languages in the world, and then it becomes, and I think there is an example in the final report as well, that it becomes, you can't sustain that. It's unsustainable as a system.
Yeah. It is. I agree.
And I think...
Sorry, Bart. Carry on.
What is important as well, say, and probably that's the next phase for the working group as well, if you would look at it, say, the typology was used and was... and this is a bit of background as well, was expanded and limited to understand the issues as well. So the original typology also included historical names. But that would be, say, if you would go to the issues, that would be, again, resolve in issues. The study group itself could say thought was were not relevant and did not match with say because say with the ISO 3166, which is from a CC perspective still the core.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore you will not see historical names, for example, in the list.
Okay.
This is Heather. If I might interject, and one of the primary drivers behind why historical names were not included was it was very difficult to capture them, shy of direct contact with someone, and then the question is who is the someone? With the UNESCO the UNESCO survey, it demonstrates really what are the names that we can ask about and get a verifiable response in relation to, and to the extent that we have to go door knocking and conduct a survey on a global scale, I believe we bury ourselves in terms of the work that has to be done and how we manage that. This becomes then an ongoing and indeed quite labor-intensive operation to manage these sorts of names.
It does. I agree. I'm satisfied with your answer, so I need no more explanation. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. No, it's a very good question because it exposes some of the thinking and indeed the challenges faced by the study group, how we came about this typology. Does anyone else have any questions? And forgive me, I'm struggling.
Yeah, Ron Sherwood has his hand up.
Ron?
Yes, this is Ron Sherwood. Can you tell me, Bart, currently in preparation for the next round of GTLDs, do the guidelines still say that country names are protected in all languages?
Heather, can you answer that question? I can answer it, but...
This is the... which guidelines is this, Ron?
No, this is the African guidebook.
Oh, the African guidebook. Yeah. The African guidebook...
The footnote in the African guidebook.
Indeed, indeed. And I don't have the footnote in front of me, but the footnote exists. The footnote is still sitting in the African guidebook, which specifically includes country and territory names from application. Now, I don't recall specifically how we dealt with, how we specifically dealt with languages.
It's what it said in all languages, and hence it becomes, it's in all languages without any qualification. So therefore, that one is unsustainable.
I think there is a note somewhere that there are some 7,000 languages which that would refer to.
So you talk about 1.5 million names, at least, maybe the double.
This is a recommendation then that's, I think, easy for the study group or easy for the working group to come to in light of the study group's findings, which is to say, as Bart has just said, that the perpetuation of that is and unworkable is probably the exact right word.
I see a question in Latin names. Two symbols are protected in English, Latin. Country codes, they are. That's in English currently. Although, two characters are excluded. I think even IDN characters, but I'm not sure. Heather?
My understanding is they're excluded.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Yeah.
And, of course, three-letter characters were not, but two letters were.
Yeah. Ron, go ahead.
This is Ron. I don't know whether it applies to us, but currently there is this discussion on two-letter second-level names, two-letter names at the second level.
Thank you, Ron. I think it's a very good thing, a very good issue to raise, a very good issue to raise indeed. We have in the study group report, in the study group mandate, focused on the use of country and territory names within the DNS. Our principal exercise was to look at the types of strings relating to the names of country and territory names that were used as TLDs. But I do think it's a good idea to put this onto the radar.
Ron and Heather, if you would look at the charter, it firmly states that, say, this working group is only focusing on top-level domains, so not on SLDs, not on second level or lower.
Do we have scope, Bart, to the extent that, for example, our discussions with the GAC, our pending discussions with the GAC, and their proposals go beyond TLD. Their proposals go down levels, and I think I wouldn't like to exclude the fact that we can discuss these things. Our recommendations might not go to these, and certainly it's not the focus of our work. However, where policy is inclusive, where policy runs across levels, I understand that that's within our scope.
Yeah, but I would be very what's the English word?
Wary.
Weary of going down to the level of second level domains, and so you enter, especially because this is a joint working group. It might be interesting and relevant for. Say the people from the GNSO and others, especially regarding GTLDs, say from a CCTLB perspective, it is not relevant.
Understood. Understood.
From a CCNSO perspective, so it say the say although, say, from looking at the charter, there might be an opportunity to share experience, etc., it is definitely out of scope of say, as you said, the recommendations, etc., and focus area of this working group.
Understood. Thank you, Bart. And I suspect I seized on this from a GNSL mentality. I would like to at least note in our reporting, to the extent that we encounter, for example, these GAC proposals that run across levels, to acknowledge that runs across levels.
That's another one. Yeah. Okay.
Do we have any other questions around the topology?
The only thing is Patrick Jones in the chat, and that might be useful for those who are not familiar with it. There is a reference in the study group report on the UNGEGN World Geographical Names database. You can have a look there. We've looked into this, and now I'm wearing another hat on the, IDN policy, etc., and the fast track process. We've looked into this one. It is not, at least until recently, it was not complete. But it does provide a good overview of the names of countries in local languages. For example, what it doesn't provide the names of all territories. Some territories which are on the ISO 3166 are not included in the UN database. The best example is Taiwan.
This is Heather. May I emphasize on building on that point, Bart, to say that the study group found, and perhaps this is a simple, trite point, but I do think it needs to be mentioned, we found no single comprehensive list. There is no list out there that covers all of the names in the topology. There's no list out there that indeed within some of these categories within the topology, for many of these, there was no list. We lose an official updated, continuously updated list when we leave the ISO list, really. Beyond that, it's a matter of inquiry, just to find out where these things are and so forth. And that makes our job particularly challenging. Right, so in terms of the typology, are there any further questions, any further concerns? Are we happy to confirm the typology as a baseline for our discussions here? And again, I want to emphasize, this is not a baseline for a recommendation at this stage. We are not recommending at this point in time, any specific future policy in relation to all of these names or some of these names. These names are a workable set of names for our discussion in this group. So hearing no objection, could we record then in the minutes for this call that on the basis of silence, I suppose, which is not ideal, will confirm the typology for the group's work. Now, that said, are we quorate? This is not, I suppose, a vote, but do we have enough people on the call?
Cool.
Is this a meaningful confirmation?
Heather, this is Bart. This is one of the reasons we have 15 people, and I think the working group has around 25. This is one of the reasons why we introduce, a second round of discussion and a second call for the day to seek consensus of the group.
I remember that. That's right. We've got a first call confirmation, and then we've got a second call confirmation.
So yeah, and that will be on the second call. So everybody is pre-warned if they have any issues. So those who are on the call do have the opportunity to raise these issues at the second call as well.
Excellent, Bart. Thank you for reminding me. That's true. I forgot about that. So that's good. So that's a bit more comfortable then. In with that in mind and hearing silence, I understand that we have our first call confirmation of the typology, and then we'll continue this with a second call. With that behind us, then we can shift to the format for reporting in our agenda. And Bart has very kindly started us off with, and the chairs have discussed at some length the format for community reporting. The issue here is we wanted to make sure that we had a template that all constituencies, all SOs, AFEs, receive the same sorts of updates as to our work. I know we are watched. The community is interested in what we are doing. We want to provide information in a timely way, and we want to provide information in a fulsome and consistent a way as possible across the various SOs and ACs. And with that in mind, Bart, would you like to say anything to the Bart or Lisa? Would you like to say anything to the format?
Let me first, so you can't see it, Heather, but we've uploaded the storm, and I've just sent it round.
Very good.
So we can run through it. Either Lisa or you can run us through the different sections and as discussed by the co-chairs.
Lisa, may I turn this to you since I'm struggling with Adobe Connect?
Just a second. I had it mute. I'll try to do this. It's some time ago. We went on. It was last week. But maybe you can help me out with this part because you made this very good strawman. But we had a discussion that we would really like to inform the community about what our discussions are and how we're doing the working methods and the processes.
I'll run everybody through it.
Yeah.
So going back to, say, the London meeting, one of the action items of the co-chairs was to develop and propose a format for reporting to the broader community. And they would do this at this would do that at this call. So what you see in front of you is a first draft from the co-chairs on how a progress report could look like for the broader community. So it's not really fleshed out. It's more the structure and includes the items. So let me run through it again. Say, first of all, the purpose of the progress report, it's clearly to inform the community, and particularly the interested SOs and ACs, on progress the working group made to date. And one of the suggestions is to inform the, for example, the CCNSO and the GNSO at their joint meeting on the progress, so we can do it once, and that the co-chairs will do this. Then a second part, but this will be included in future as purpose of the progress reports. Secondly, is that inform the community on the substantive discussions of the working group. And at this stage, it's fairly simple. It's around the confirmation of, and of the policies that they're current, and that the working group will start with the policies as identified by the study group, and use that as a starting point for their discussions. And secondly, and this is the first call, and this was a bit of. Preempting today's outcome, but I think that's will be interesting for the community as well, and the co-chairs definitely think it's interesting, is if at the second read the typology is confirmed, that it will be used as a starting point. So then you have a bit on the substantive parts of say the work of the working group. Then the next part will be on the working method and process followed to date. The co-chairs really want to emphasize and really want to stress that the process that has been followed is clear to the community, and for example the decision making by the working group, so it's consensus based. It will be done in two reads of any document in order to allow all the members of the working group to express their views and their position. So that's more the internal, but it's probably very important externally. And also process to date, what has been done to reach out or for outreach, steps to, for example, what we discussed today of engaging and reaching out to the GAC to engage them in our process and to see where there is, to check where there is overlap, etc. This would all be part of a description of the process. And finally, as it is a progress report, include the next steps the working group wants to take. So it's a high-level overview of the work plan. So the community is informed what will happen next and when they can expect, for example, a first report for public comments by the group. So that's more or less the framework for progress report. So as you will see, and if you check your emails, you will see it. It already has some substantive, but it needs more flesh to the bones. Which again, my suggestion would be that say that staff will provide this through the co-chair so they can have a look. And so the working group has a document to discuss from. That would be something for the next meeting, is my guess. So that's my run-through of the strawman. Over to you, Heather and Lisa.
Thank you, Bart, very much. Thank you, Lisa, as well. Does anyone have any questions about the format for the report?
Heather, it's Lisa. I have a short comment to Bart's explanation. So, in short, what we want to do next meeting was to have this face-to-face meeting with the two councils of the CCNSO and GNSO, and we would make this a report public on the website.
My understanding is that this report is our reporting to not only the CCNSO and the GNSO, but to all constituencies involved, and yes, and then it would go public on the website. So for all of our representatives in this group, they would take that back and use that, hence the benefit of consistency, for reporting back to their SO or AC. Any objections to that? No? I submitted some comments through to you, Bart, earlier today, or earlier yesterday, I suppose, my time, just in terms of our use of words around reaffirmation of policies.
I've included that already.
So
what the working group sees is, say, the one that you've amended and updated.
Fantastic. That's great. Thank you very much. And that's really my comments to our original draft of this were simply going to the point that I've emphasized in other contexts here, which is to say that the policies and the typology are a starting point for us. They by no means determine our outcome.
Excellent.
Ron has his hand up. Ron, go ahead.
Yes, Bob. Could you post for us a link to the location where we have a list of the people that are members of this group and the constituencies that they are from or represent? Is all of this information in one location, for example?
Yes, it's on the CCNSO website. If you would go to the working groups, you'll find a reference to the working group, and this is where you see everybody listed.
Again, yes, but does everybody on this this meeting today have access to that location? Can it be posted?
Yeah, it's the public website of the CCNSO.
Okay. Thank you.
Marika?
It is, Marika. To Ron's point, there's also a wiki page on the GNSO site, and I send the link to the membership page, just noting that we do need to make a couple of updates because I think we had some additions to the group following the last time we updated the website, and we'll take care of that shortly. But that contains as well the same information as well as some other background information as well as a charter and other related information, as well as a link to the CCNSO workspace under tab 6.
This is Heather. May I follow up with Marika's point? Because I don't think that this was a discussion that we had in a broader group. I asked the question, and I don't think I was alone in the thinking as to why this was sitting on the CCNSO page. And just for everyone to hear and understand the response, I understand that this is really an administrative convenience, Bart, with what you explained, that the study group had been a CCNSO creation, and that those resources were already in place in terms of the page for the study group on the CCNSO page, and for administrative convenience, the CCNSO has kindly offered to continue its role, let's say, in maintaining the public face of this. And then, as Marika points out, the GNSO has the wiki page.
And what you will see, Heather, this is not just for this working group, but this is also the case for other cross-community working groups.
And it's very helpful, Bart. I think we're grateful to you for your CCNSO's willingness to house us and keep track of our work and put the public face on it. Are there any further questions around the reporting that we'll undertake?
Ron, do you still have your hand up, or is it a new question?
Excuse me, maybe the hand is now.
I don't see any other questions in the Adobe, Heather.
Excellent. Thank you all. Thank you, Bart. Our next meeting, I turn to the group really on this. We said we would meet regularly before between LA and London, and we've been making these calls a monthly event. To the extent possible around summer holidays and these sorts of things, we would like to have a call in, what are we now? We're August. No, we'd like to have a call in September. Can I turn to Bart or to staff to guide us in how we might go about doing this? Will we run a doodle poll?
I think in probably in 4 weeks' time, and we'll run a doodle poll for the working group.
With that, we've come to the end of our agenda. Does anyone have any other issues, concerns, questions that they would like to raise at this stage?
Mary Uduma has her hand up. Mary? Mary is typing. The progress report will be made public, if that's your question. and the work of the group as well. So that's what we've been, so that's what we said. The progress report will be made public. It will be probably sent, and I invite everybody on the working group to send it to their colleagues who are with an interest in the topic. Any other questions? No. Heather, over to you to close it.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for joining today's meeting. On behalf of the four co-chairs, I'm grateful to you for joining us. I look forward to speaking with you in our next meeting in roughly 4 weeks' time. And thank you very much again to staff for their excellent support of our work.
Thanks,
excellent.
Everyone.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Has been adjourned.
Please thank
disconnect
you,
all remaining lines, and thank you very much for joining. Corey, if you can please stop the recording.
This now concludes today's conference. The recordings have now been stopped.